following is a production of Shark Flight Media. Shark Flight Media. Shark Flight Media.
Now entering the nexus of geekery and guy world in 3, 2, 1. Mark.
Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again?
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
This is the Dudes in Hyperspace podcast.
Hey, kids, welcome back to another exciting edition of the Dudes in Hyperspace podcast. I am your host, Ian J. Malone. Going to be joined in a minute by my buddy, Kevin Steverson. Rob Howell has the night off. Got a stacked show for you tonight. We are talking Major League Baseball with a special guest interview. We have also got tons of book talk, lasers and loggers recap, and your questions. So feel free to shoot those to us on social media. You know where to find us, Facebook and Twitter. Just look for @SharkFlight, and you will find the Shark Flight media page. You can also email the show at dudesinhyperspace@gmail.com if you want to try and slip in a last-minute question. Thanks, as always, to our presenting sponsor. That would, of course, be Chris Kennedy Publishing. You know it, man. Would it depend on whatever you're into? It doesn't matter. Space opera, mil-SF, fantasy, urban fantasy, heck, even paranormal romance and craft. Like, they have everything for you over there. To learn more about their stuff, just visit their website. It's all right there, chriskennedypublishing.com. Again, that's chriskennedypublishing.com. They are message-free sci-fi with a slice of fantasy. Kevin Steverson in the hizzy. How are we doing tonight, my friend?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. That's an operator error. I forgot to click your button.
Anyway,
but I hear you loud and clear under the sea again, I hear.
Yeah, well, you know, it's my fish. I mean, I guess I could turn your bubblers off and maybe half kill them.
But now,
that seems a little cruel, and we'll have, you know, PETA after us.
So a little bit, yeah. We shall not besmirch the fish and get the PETA people after us. So one thing to do that for a little 5-minute, 10-minute segment on CKP Confidential. It's something else entirely to do an hour podcast. So.
Yeah.
Well, I can honestly say, dude, I have seriously been waiting for this. We talk a lot of baseball on this show. It comes up quite a bit. You know, we have been looking for the right opportunity to bring on a guest to talk about that subject. And the timing right now is beautiful. Obviously, we're coming right out of the All-Star break and starting to head on into summer, heading toward October. So this is when things really start to heat up. So rather than listening to all of us bloviate about, you know, our baseball teams and Reds and Braves and whomever, decided we'd reach out into the interwebs and bring ourselves in an expert. And it's a guy I actually know quite well. He is from my old stomping grounds down home in the Florida Panhandle. Used to work for ESPN down there. Now he runs his own podcast called The Right on Sports Podcast. And, of course, that would be Mr. Kyle Wright. Welcome to the show, my man.
First of all, I appreciate you guys bringing me on, Kevin. I appreciate being here under the sea with you. This it's a great experience. I know your fish is healthy because I can hear it. I really appreciate you guys bringing me on. By the way, I've never felt so small in my life than when I heard your intro, because that was incredible.
Well, I'll be thanks to my imaging guy Jeff Hutchins for taking good care of me on that. So, and of course, we had the drop in there from What's-His-Face from Boston College back. God, what was his name? It was the offensive line guy from Florida, offensive line coach in Florida, was head coach at BC for a couple of years there. It was freaking hilarious, dude. He's a New Englander guy.
I'm drawing a blank right now.
I use a soundbite, and I still don't remember his name.
I hate the Florida Gators so much, man, that I just don't. I tend to not. I don't like to remember anybody that comes out of there.
I hear you. Well, you know, when you get a sounder like "What's better than this? Guys being dudes." That's rather apropos for this show, I think. We talk a lot about writing and craft and science fiction and the stuff that our industry obviously is. But when we're not talking about that, we're talking about beer, barbecue, and sports. So it's kind of what we do.
That's my whole life.
I hear you, man. So let's get into this. Major League Baseball, the All-Star game is now behind us. You know, let's start from the beginning, man. As always happens during the offseason, lots of moving and shaking happening. Lots of deals happening. Players going to new towns, new teams. You got Trevor Bauer going to the Dodgers. You've got Francisco Lindor heading to the Mets. Padres wheeling and dealing. So in your mind, when all of this started way back in April, what were the big storylines that you were looking to keep an eye on in the 2021 season?
Well, I mean, you obviously mentioned one of them right there with Trevor Bauer going to the Dodgers. It was going to be interesting to see how a Cy Young winner handled being in a completely, not only a different atmosphere going from Cincinnati, Ohio to Los Angeles, California, but being able to handle that that tougher division that he's going to play against, because there's no doubt that the National League Central is tough, but it's not the, they don't have the hitters that the National League West has.
No, not even close.
They don't have it. And I think that, you know, before his, the whole scandal, whatever side of that you're on, it, that doesn't matter. But we're talking about Trevor Bauer on the field. I think he's done a pretty good job at handling that.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, that was a big one that I was keeping an eye on heading into the year, too. Naturally, I was, as a Reds fan, sad to see him leave Cincinnati. But, I mean, come on, anybody with two brain cells left over from college knew he was not going to be a Red in 2021, not with the season he had in 2020. So, but no, I mean, obviously he goes to L.A., makes the World Champions even that much better. Not sure what his future is right now. Obviously, a lot has happened since then, but he was what they thought he was going to be prior to all of the stuff that's happening in his life now that's got him off the field. But, you know, the Dodgers are certainly there. The Mets seem to be very much on a roll. You know, out of the stories that you were kind of eyeballing coming into the year, how has all of that played out, and have there been any surprises so far?
Yeah, man. Actually, one of the big storylines on our show that we were talking about, we did a division, we did a breakdown of every single division before the season started, and the last one we did was the National League East, and it was, you know, we knew the Mets were going to kind of come up, especially after getting Francisco Lindor. They were going to have Jake DeGrom coming back healthy. It was, this team was, they were kind of loaded. You know, who knows what Pete Alonso is going to do, but we knew that the Atlanta Braves were the clean cut favorite in that division if they could stay healthy. And unfortunately, that is that's a big storyline, because the Braves, to me, were the favorite to come out of the National League at the beginning of the season, and now here we are. They're looking at maybe finishing fourth in their own division.
We're beat up bad. We are beat up bad.
They are very beat up. It's horrible. I mean, they never got Soroka back, and now he's probably out for a whole nother year. The Marcelo Ozuna thing, that's a crazy situation. Of course, you just lost Ronald Acuna. Man, they're struggling. I mean, they got a third baseman playing left field.
Yeah, it's bad.
Well, we're at the All-Star break, obviously, and that typically tends to raise the question of who's going where now. Trade deadline's coming up here on July the 30th. Lots of rumors, as there always are, about who's going to buy, who's going to sell. So, in your mind, who are the teams to watch, and who are some players that could be on the move?
Well, listen, I think the New York Yankees need outfield help. And I know we're going to talk a little bit more about them here in a few minutes, but you've got guys like Jock Peterson out there. You've got the Reds could be looking to maybe deal Jesse Winker so that they can keep Nick Castellanos. You got stuff like that, and the Yankees need outfield help, man. So that, to me, I think the Yankees are going to be your top buyer going in, because they know they kind of have to get desperate right now.
Sure. Well, you touched on Cincinnati, and I don't want to turn this into a Reds podcast as easily as I could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, they do not have a reputation, man, for going when the time comes to go big or go home, they typically go home.
Yeah.
You got a lot of guys that are looking at outs after this year contractually, Castellanos being one of them. I mean, what are the odds that maybe this is the year Bob Castellini and company finally decide, it's now or never. Like, we have an opportunity to play ball here, pun intended. We're going to go out. We're going to get some help for a bullpen that desperately needs it. Who knows? Maybe we even shock the world and bring in a shortstop. You know, does Cincinnati actually come to the plate this year, or is this yet another year when they're going to sell off all their stars and say, we're rebuilding again?
So this is that conversation is tough to have, because you've got our top superstars right now. Obviously, you've got Nick Castellanos and Jesse Winker absolutely going crazy. But the top guys in our organization right now are guys like Tyler Stevenson, guys like Jonathan India, who are going to be in Cincinnati for a long time. So I don't know if it's a now or never approach, but I do know that this year is going to be their best chance. I know you guys don't know me, and the people that are listening to this show don't know me, but I will never tell you anything that I don't believe about my teams. You could ask any of my co-hosts. I don't come on here. You heard me on ESPN all the time, Ian. I will not tell you something I don't believe. But I truly believe that the Cincinnati Reds can get hot in the second half of the season and win the National League, win the pennant. And that's because they have the second-best starting pitching staff. They have the third best bullpen now. They're top 10 in every single offensive category. The one thing that the Cincinnati Reds need, in my opinion, I wouldn't say bullpen help. And I know that's going to sound crazy to other guys, because you're going to have TJ Antone coming back healthy. You're going to have Lucas Sims coming back healthy. You're going to have Michael Lorenzen coming back healthy. So I don't know if that's my top priority. If I'm like as a Cincinnati Reds fan right now, if I'm them, I'm thinking, man, we need a shortstop.
Sure. Well, that was the one thing you knew you needed going into the offseason, and no, we believe in Kyle Farmer. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. We appreciate that. Oh, that's why we're going to go ahead and move Gino Suarez to shortstop, you know, because we can get another bat.
Yeah.
But anyway, like I said, I'm not going to turn this into a Reds podcast. I can do that with you all day long.
Oh, yeah. I could be going all day on this.
I did want to get back to the Yankees, though. Braves and Yankees are probably the two most prominent teams, it seems, among our readerships. You know, when Kevin and I and Rob, our third co-host, when we go to cons, typically we are kind of known as the sports guys. And so that leads to a lot of, you know, round the bar over beers or coffees or whatever, talking about sports, be it baseball, football, stock car racing, whatever. And in baseball land, it does seem that Braves and Yankees tend to be the preferred teams in our core reader group. Let's get back to the Yankees. You touched upon the fact that they need some outfield help. I think specifically at center field, they could use a hand. Where are some other directions that they could go? And then I've got a second part to that question, but I'll let you start there.
Well, listen, I admittedly do not follow the Yankees as much as I probably should because, like you said, it's all down here. It's all Yankees for some reason in the Florida Panhandle. It's the Yankees or the Atlanta Braves. But I do know that they need a lot of outfield help. I don't necessarily think they need to blow this thing up because their division kind of seems like one where, you know, is Tampa going to be able to keep this momentum? Like Tampa, I feel like, is going to start sliding soon. Boston is a team that the Yankees have dominated over the last three or four decades. So I don't think they should blow it up too much. I do think they need another starting pitcher.
Right.
They've got plenty of guys that they can deal at a low tier level trade that wouldn't blow up their organization because they're the Yankees, man.
Sure.
They're gonna go out and get somebody else. They're gonna be fine.
Yep. Speaking of people who always go big rather than go home, that's definitely New York.
Right.
Well, one thing about the Yankees is they're sure not going to go deep into their own organization to get outfielders because they don't grow their own. They go out there and buy them.
Right.
You know, that's one thing I can say about my Braves. You know, they grow talent. Comes up through the levels. So.
Well, sure. And, I mean, you know, as long as you're kind of staying in the eastern side of things and getting back to the AL, nobody does that better than the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, I'm in just outside of Raleigh, and I lived in Durham for 9 years, so I knew the Durham Bulls well. That's the AAA affiliate of Tampa Bay. I saw a lot of those guys come up through the ranks before they finally headed back down to Tampa to play at the Trop. So, you know, you want to look at an organization that truly knows how to build itself from the ground up. Nobody does it better than Tampa. But I do want to kick back over to the Braves since I got Kevin here. What does the NL East look like to you? Is this pretty well the Mets' division to lose? Obviously, the Braves need to get healthy. But what are some other moves, steps they could take to be able to close that gap, Kyle?
I'm sure Kevin will agree with me. I think the Braves need to try and win with what they have. They can't change too much because you don't want to bring some guy in. Like here's going to be my most confusing statement of the show. You don't want to build too good a chemistry with replacements.
Sure.
Because you've got guys on this team where the Braves could physically dominate the National League for the next 5 to 10 years. So if you bring other guys in that are going to build a new chemistry that are going to be great, I don't think that's the best move for the Braves. Now, I also don't think they should consider this year a wash, but I don't think it's a good idea for them to really do anything. I think the Braves need to try and win with what they have. The National League East is not that great. The Mets are a DeGrom away from being in the cellar. Honestly, I think the Braves are going to be fine. I don't know if they're going to be good this year because you've already mentioned the National League West is so stacked.
Yeah.
That you don't win your division, you're not getting into the playoffs. But I don't think they need to do too much.
Kevin, I'll throw it to you, man. I'm going to go ahead and make you the president of operations for the Braves. What are you doing to make your team better?
I agree. You just got to play the players you have. There's no sense in bringing in some big names. And you know, I mean, I know there's some names floating around out there, but there's no sense in doing that, messing with the chemistry. Just play the players you have, and those guys will play hard for each other. It's about all you can do.
Yep.
But you're right. Out there, the Giants and the Dodgers, they're duking it out, and they're just dominating. So it's kind of, you know, I don't know about this year. I'm not going to give up on them, but I am going to be a realist. You know?
Well, and I mean, that begs the question, and Kyle, we actually touched upon this a little bit before the show started. NL West, man, I mean, for crying out loud, you got the Giants, you got the Padres, you got the Dodgers. Is there any scenario whereby somebody not in the NL West wins the NL wild card this year? I mean, teams like the Braves, the Mets, the Reds, the Cubs, is it division or bust for them?
Man. So here's one thing that I think is going to happen. I do not think San Francisco is physically capable of playing at the same level in the second half of the season that they did in the first half. I do think that they're a really good team, and I mean, I love watching San Francisco do good with nothing but former Reds. But it hurt. I'm not gonna lie, man.
And a Noel with Buster Posey.
So. Yeah, absolutely. No, it's I just don't think they're good enough to keep that pace. Now, the Padres, you could argue, were the same way. I mean, Fernando Tatis, while he's been incredible, and he's probably your front runner for National League MVP on a, because he's a popular name, blah, 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 blah. We don't have to get into all that right now. But, I mean, he's a liability on shortstop. He's got 20 errors this year.
Right.
I mean, and it's the same way with their second baseman, whose name is escaping me right now. They've got 30 errors between the two. So I don't think the Padres are as capable of doing this as people think either. Now, I do think it's going to be the Brewers or the Reds. If either one of those teams lose a wild card spot, it's going to have to be to a central team, and it's going to be to the Brewers or the Reds. But, I mean, the National League East, that one's definitely – the winner of that division might only be about 10 games over 500.
Well, nice. Well, yeah, actually, you touched on a couple of teams there that I did want to talk about. Teams like the Cubs, all right? They're not out of it. If they really, really, really wanted to climb back into this and they could get hot, they have a possibility of maybe getting back into the conversation. But who are some of the teams that you think could surprise?
So that you know, that argument I just made for the National League West, I've already made for the American League East, right?
Okay.
So you got the Red Sox, who I don't want to spoil too much, but I think the Red Sox are going to stay on the path that they're on. They might get Chris Sale back soon as well. I think the Red Sox are going to keep playing well. But Tampa, the Yankees, they could slide. And I think a young, hot team with superstars like the Toronto Blue Jays, you know, the front runner for American League MVP, the All-Star Game MVP. You've also got Bo Bichette. You got guys all over the place in Toronto. And I think Toronto could be a team to watch out for. We see it all the time. I mean, they're not even playing in Toronto right now, so it would make sense for them to make, like, to have their best season in how long.
Right.
I also, you know, going on the homer pick again, I've already mentioned it, but the Cincinnati Reds, I think that they're like 29-14 in their last 40 games or 40 whatever games. However, you do the math. I'm not a math guy. I'm a podcast host.
Right.
But they're on fire right now. You could look at other teams. The teams that nobody's talking about, even being in first place, nobody's talking about the Giants. Nobody's giving them that respect. So maybe they do shock the world and they do keep it going. We've seen that organization is brilliant as well. Would they win 3 World Series in 6 years or something like that?
Sure. Yeah.
You could never really count them out.
No, absolutely. Well, let's, even though this isn't a big topic of conversation on this show, this is a baseball conversation, so you can't not touch on them. AL Central and AL West, are those pretty well a lock for the White Sox and the Astros?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's less about those teams being good and more about the other teams in that those divisions being pretty raunchy. I like how the Angels just did nothing but draft pitchers in this draft.
Right.
What was it, 20 pitchers? They had 20 picks, and they picked 20 pitchers?
Right. Yeah. Well,
wild.
Yeah, no. And then there's that one guy that they have on their roster that hits the ball really hard, who also throws the ball really hard. That's Kevin's boy, man. Kevin lays awake at night listening and thinking about that guy.
We're not escaping without talking about him. I mean, the guy was in the home run derby on Monday, and he threw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball the next day in the All-Star game. Come on.
Yeah, that's wild, man. So much respect for Shohei Ohtani. It's got to be a little frustrating for him to do all that and still be the second-best player on his team, though.
I know. And let's don't even mention the fact that he's got 12 stolen bases. I mean, that just
– yeah.
We don't even talk about that. And he's 4-for-4 when he's bunting for a hit.
That's pretty wild. Dude. Start bunting again. What in the hell? We're getting. I'm sorry. I know we've talked about no swearing, but my podcast is like not PG rated, so it's hard for me to pull that in. But guys, bunt against the shift. You know that bunts this year are like 90% successful.
Oh, bunt against the shift. Punch it against the shift. You know how some of those softball players will punch with it. Oh yeah, do all that. I love small ball, so I'm all for it.
I do too, I do too. But going back to the American League Central, the Twins are extremely disappointing.
Yeah.
My goodness. I don't think there's any argument for that. The Twins just blindsided me. I actually picked them to win that division. And that's not going to happen.
Well, I don't think you were alone in that. There's a whole lot of people that are looking at the Twinkies going and scratching their heads. But all right, well, listen, starting to kind of to wind this thing down a bit, because I know you got other sessions and other things that you've got to get on to tonight. So thanks again for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
I've enjoyed it.
Heading into the home stretch of the season, starting to head down through the dog days and into September toward the fall, who are the teams that you're keeping an eye on as legitimate contenders to push hard into the playoffs?
Well, listen, at the beginning of the year, I picked the Braves versus the Yankees in the World Series.
Okay.
And that's not going to happen. So I've kind of had to read the playing field, just as you do at the halfway point here. You got to look over the landscape. You got to take experience. You got to take momentum. You have to take all this stuff into consideration. And as of right now, I think the Dodgers are in a prime spot to repeat for the National League champions and represent the National League. Even with all the injuries, everything they've dealt with all the year, they're still like the best team in the National League. I mean, you know, overall, they had so many injuries there for a while. What'd they lose? They lost like 17 out of 18 games or something crazy like that. And then they still only have like 25 losses right now or something crazy. I don't know. I don't have records in front of me. They have more than that, obviously, but they're on fire. So the Dodgers are going back, and I actually have them playing against the Red Sox, man, in the World Series as of right now.
Oh, man, that's a
I know your Yankee fans won't like that.
That's a heartbreaker of a season. I'm not even a Yankees fan, and I hate that. Freaking A, man. L.A. versus Boston. It's a good thing NASCAR will still be on back then. I'll have something to watch. God.
I don't disagree. Listen, I'm reading the playing field.
I hear you, man. All righty. Well, go ahead, Kevin.
Before he escapes, you know, we weren't really talking about the draft or anything, but I want to throw a name at both you guys, and you may already know of it. But the Braves, one of their scouts did some old school scouting, and he got a tip off, and he slipped off somewhere to a Division III college, and the Braves picked up a fella named Adam Zabrowski. Now I know he sounds like a hockey player, but that's his name, Adam Zabrowski.
He does sound like a hockey player.
Okay, he's a catcher. He plays some Division III ball, right? In 38 games, he hit 20 home runs, 70 RBI. He's batting .500 with a .594 on base percentage and a .993 slugging. And the Braves picked him up off a tip. Old school scouting.
Nice.
So watch that name 3 or 4 years from now, Adam Zabrowski.
There
and it's one you won't forget.
Mike Wazowski.
Mike Wazowski. I was about to make this. Damn it. Darn. Beat me to it.
All right.
I love stories like that when, you know, something like that happens. So.
Oh, heck yeah, man. That's fitting. You should talk about scouting and whatnot. We, my wife and I just went back and watched Moneyball for the first time in years a couple of weekends ago on, I think it was Amazon. So good stuff there. But all right, man, so I'm going to nail you down on that. You're calling it now. It's going to be the Dodgers versus the Sox in the World Series. Who do you got winning? And in how many games?
Dodgers in 4.
Oh, all
yeah,
right.
Yeah, Dodgers in a sweep.
Old school butt kicking there.
Yep, they take it back in L.A., of course, because they still do the stupid thing where teams from the Detroit Tigers are playing for the American League to host the World Series. But it's okay. I mean, I don't know what other implications you could put on that. But, yeah, I just think it's pretty wide open for the most part. But I think the National League's going to take it.
All right, there it is. Well, Kyle Wright, ladies and gentlemen, go check out his show, The Wright on Sports Podcast. They talk about baseball, they talk about football, they talk about college sports, pro sports, you name it, plus a few other topics in between. It is quality stuff. They are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, pretty much wherever podcasts are shown. You guys on YouTube?
We are on YouTube. Wright on Network is our YouTube channel. We have a lot more coming to that. And I know... you guys are like big nerds as well, so if you don't mind, I want to get a little shameless plug in.
Yeah.
We're here in the next like week and a half or so. I think on July 26th is our first episode. We have a YouTube series called Nerd Culture Undisputed coming out.
Nice.
It's going to be we're going to be pretty much getting a little drunk and talk like we're calling it Tipsy Theories, and we're going to be talking about the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, all kinds of different stuff. I mean, we're talking Star Wars, DC, everything you could think of. So
awesome. Yeah, we've been known to talk about those things from time to time on this show. So, Kevin, what you got?
We talk about movies and sci-fi movies and that kind of thing. Yeah, I'm going to be talking about that.
All righty, man. Well, last call for alcohol. Kyle, anything else you want listeners to know, where they can find you on social media, web stuff? It's your last shot to self-promote. So what you got?
Well, listen, guys, go find us on Facebook. It's just Right On Network. It's super simple. Instagram right now, at Right On Sports. We also have a wrestling podcast for any wrestling fans. That's at Right On SQC. That's SQC. And it's the same stuff on Twitter, at Right On Sports, at Right On SQC. We don't have a network page on Twitter yet. Don't ask me why. My guys are letting me down. I'm letting myself down. But everything else, man, we do a lot on Facebook, so go check us out there. And, man, I appreciate you guys bringing me on. You guys are incredible. Can't wait to bring you on my show and return the favor. Looking forward to more conversations.
We're all about the home-and-home series over here on the Dudes in Hyperspace podcast, brother. So, well, thanks for coming on board. We appreciate the insights. Kyle Wright, ladies and gentlemen, go check out his show. He's good stuff. And that's going to take us on down to our halftime segment, which, as we are wont to do, we like to thank our presenting sponsor. That would, of course, be Chris Kennedy Publishing. Doesn't matter what you're into, folks. Sci-fi, mill sci-fi, space opera, fantasy, you name it. They've got it all there at Chris Kennedy Publishing. To learn more about them and their authors, their books, series, universes, it's all at ChrisKennedyPublishing.com. They are also cranking out new releases every freaking week, man. So if you're a voracious reader, they have got you covered. They can crank it out as fast as you can read it. So a couple of new releases this week, Kev. What's the biggie here? We're back in 4-H-U land, right?
It is. It is the new release. It's the anthology In the Wings. And what this book centers around is some of the side characters that you saw a little bit of in some of your favorite stories in the Four Horsemen. Well, they've expounded on them and gave them a little background and maybe where they came from and that kind of thing.
So. There's some stacked writers in this one, too. I know you're in this one. Eikenberry's in this one. Mark Wandry, Chris Kennedy are both in this one. I think Wandry's actually co-written with Casey Azell, who Little Birdie told me is going to be coming to the show sometime in the coming months. So stick around for that. But great lineup for this anthology, man. And it's called In the Wings?
It is called In the Wings. Marissa's in it. John Osborne. You know, all the core writers are actually in this one.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's pretty good.
So what's this thing about?
It's 15 outstanding authors, 14 extraordinary stories, one best-selling universe. It's the 22nd century. The galaxy has opened up humanity as a hyperactive beehive of stargates and new technologies. And we suddenly find ourselves in a vast playground of different races, environments, and cultures. There's just one catch. We are pretty much at the bottom of the food chain. Enter the Four Horsemen universe, where only a willingness to fight and die for money separates humans from a majority of the other races. Enter a galaxy not only of mercenaries, but also of aliens, hired assassins, and accountants. Accountants? Edited by best-selling authors and universe creators Mark Wandry and Chris Kennedy, In the Wings brings you a variety of all-new stories in the Four Horsemen universe, showcasing characters that, until now, have always been one step out of the limelight. The 15 authors bring you looks at some of the universe's minor characters, giving you additional insight into what truly makes the universe tick and some additional information you won't get anyplace else.
Ooh, sweet, sweet. What are the reviewers saying about this thing on Amazon?
All right. Well, Sean says this anthology is a good starting point for anyone interested in starting the series. They can know nothing about the series and will receive enough information from the tales to figure out what's going on in the 4-H-U universe. In the Wings is another stellar anthology from CKP Publishing. They have maintained their high standards for solid stories that are vastly entertaining. Now, Ray says all the stories in this anthology were good, and many of them were excellent. Great additions to the amazing world building in the Four Horsemen universe. And we got one from an Amazon customer. Hey, we like Amazon customers.
We do indeed.
The authors are superstars, and you will hate yourself if you miss this. It has everything from tears to laughter to sex and more. I mean, right there, you already know you can't miss this. Get it? Read it and pester the authors for more.
Sweet. So now, as mentioned, this is one of two new releases this week, and rumor has it we know the guy who wrote the second new release that's out this week. What's that all about?
My book of anthology of my own short stories, Orbital Defense Corps. It is a collection of my science fiction stories for over the last few years, all in one spot.
All right.
A lot of people were asking me for that, so it has four Horsemen stories, and then it has five Salvage title universe stories, and of course the last one, Orbital Defense Corps, is a brand new story that people haven't seen, and it introduces some characters, and there'll be more on those in the next two anthologies coming in September and coming in October.
Really nice. I'd be remiss if I didn't say that some people have already gotten a taste of Orbital Defense Corps because they subscribe to the CKP Patreon account, and Kevin Steverson was one of our guests on CKP Confidential. So, folks, if you're not sure what I'm talking about, we launched a brand new program through the CKP network called CKP Confidential. It's an exclusive property to the CKP Patreon account, and basically it's author readings from the authors themselves from stories that haven't come out yet. So if you want the sneak peek of things before they hit out, you know, to the rest of the world, CKP Confidential is where it's at. But it's all on the CKP Patreon page, and you can learn all about that stuff at ChrisKennedyPublishing.com. Synergy. It's what we do here on the Dudes in Hyperspace podcast. So we've also got a pre-release out this week, which means it's for sale straight through the publisher, then it'll hit Amazon on Friday. I'm sensing a theme here, Kevin. This one is shedding a past from Alex Rath. We know him from Spartan Specialists and the Scales of Justice in the Salvage Title universe. This is the direct sequel to Scales of Justice, and it is set in your Salvage Title universe.
It is a great book. I've read it. Of course, I get to read them all first. I read every word before they ever come out, but it is a great book.
Nice.
Really, it is.
Alex was our other guest on CKP Confidential this month, so I got a little demo of that as well. And yeah, folks, you're really, really going to like that, so go check that out. Again, that's Shedding the Past from Alex Rath, set in the Salvage Title universe. Let's see here. What else do we have going on this week? In audio, for fans of the Kane Reardon universe, and so that would, of course, be the Murphy's Lawless stuff from Charles E. Gannon, we have Lost Signals from the Terran Empire. And that is, I got a whole collection. I think it's 21 stories, 21 guest authors. So you totally won't want to miss that. Again, that's Lost Signals of the Terran Empire, available now in audio from ChrisKennedyPublishing.com. And then finally, the deal of the week. Folks, you can't beat an anthology for a buck. I mean, seriously, what are we doing here? From the Ashes, the Fallen World Anthology, which actually features my short story, The Coward of Leon County, that is on sale through this week for 99 cents. So yeah. I have that one in my library, and I can tell you, there's some great stuff in that one, so go check it out. From the Ashes.
Yeah, I got a story titled King of the Mountain in that one, too. So
nice.
Yeah.
Very, very, very cool. All right, folks. Well, that's pretty well the lay of the land this week in Chris Kennedy Publishing. As always, if you want to know more about them, their authors, their books, what's coming out, upcoming events, Chris is back on the con circuit now. You can learn all about that at ChrisKennedyPublishing.com. They are Chris Kennedy Publishing, message-free sci-fi with a slice of fantasy. Let's hear what the people's got to say, shall we?
You got mail.
Alrighty, this week we got all kinds of fun pod mail questions. I actually took a gander at these before we came on, and there are some fun ones. So let me pull up the old notes here. Question number one comes to us from Christian. Sadly, fellas, I was not able to make it down to Panama City for Lasers and Loggers last week. However, I'm going to be in the area next week and was curious if you got any recommendations for food and drink for a wayward journeyman. Thanks, as always, for fielding my pod mail, and stay awesome. Yeah, absolutely, Christian. The Red Bar over in Grayton Beach is fan-freaking-tastic. If you know me, anything about me, you know I love food and I love music, and that place is both. Quite possibly the greatest shrimp and grits I've ever had in my life at that place. Plus, the beers are great. The whole place is decked out in concert posters and memorabilia, and rumor has it, Sheryl Crow will even pop in from time to time because she's got a house there on Grayton, and she'll just pop in with an acoustic guitar, sit around and start playing in the corner. So, Red Bar, yeah, go check that out. Kevin, you're from that area, man. Food and drink for my man. What are you recommending?
Oh, wow, there's a lot of great places. You know, the Mexican restaurant we hit in Panama City itself, not on the beach, it's away from the touristy area, was really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, down around Beck, you know, there's a couple great restaurants down around Beck Avenue. So, mm-hmm. I, even though I'm from there, I suggest places like that as opposed to what's up and down the strip.
You know I got you. I mean? Yeah, I mean, listen, the Strip is crazy town, man. It really is. It's elbows to a-holes, and it's loaded with people, which is great. I mean, don't get me wrong. I made it into Pineapple Willie's while I was there. You know, we stayed down on the beach, my wife and I, and it's a great scene. But, yeah, when it comes to food particularly, man, I am a fan of getting off the beaten path and kind of finding some places that are a little bit more local-y. That's where you find the best stuff in my experience. So, all right, next question comes to us from Bonnie. I was beyond thrilled last week when I saw that Barbara V. Evers won the 2021 Imagine Award for Best Fantasy Novel. Congratulations to her. I'm a huge fan of that series. Does anyone know what's happening next for Barbara and when we can expect that? That is actually, Bonnie, a question for Rob Howell, who is off this evening. He's the head of New Mythology Press, which is who publishes all of that. But we can certainly have him get onto Facebook and drop that information for you. Or we'll just ask Barbara to go ahead and announce it as well. I know she's busy. Watchers of Mania has done extremely well. It has found a lot of new readers of late. We had a lot of people asking about that at Lasers and Loggers down in Panama City. And yeah, she's really making the rounds. Also want to give a shout out to William Allen Webb, who also won a 2021 Imagine Award for Best Science Fiction Novel for, what was the name of his? Was it High Mountain Hunters? Is that
High
the name
Mountain
of that
Hunters.
One?
Yeah. It was.
So, yeah, so lots of good stuff happening, man. CKP, we're not just playing around. We win awards and stuff. We be legit. All right, next question comes to us from, who is this, Ellis. Ian, Busch Light Apple? Seriously? Yes, oh, seriously. Wow. Yeah, I posted a picture of it on, I finally got some. Like, it's limited edition stuff. It's never been in North Carolina, but my local grocery store down the road here had had some of it out on display. And so I bought it just to find out. But anyway, I posted a picture of it on social media, and I've been taking crap for it ever since. But anyway,
how is it? Let's be honest.
I actually really liked it, dude. I really didn't think it was bad, man. But now I spent a lot of years poor and broke drinking Busch Light beer. Like, for the longest time down in Florida, Busch Light was, I mean, that was my budget beer. I could get it for, you know, for way cheap compared to a lot of the other stuff. And, I mean, it kept me fed on a Friday night.
There you go.
$7.99 for a 12-pack of long necks. Like, you can't really beat that. No. But anyway, so yeah, Busch Light Apple, this guy's clearly giving me crap about that. Let's see here. What else does he go on to say? I get the appreciation for cheap beers because Lord knows we've all been poor and broke at some time. But come on, man. At least have the common decency to crack open a PBR from time to time and drink with the rest of us bottom shelfers. Yeah, I can get on board with a PBR. It's okay. It never blew me away. I mean, as budget beers go, I'll take a Rolling Rock before I'll take a PBR. I'll take a Busch Light before I'll take a PBR. I'll take a Natty before I'll take a PBR. I can do PBR, but it's not my favorite thing in the world. On the Busch Light Apple,
you know,
note,
back
though,
in the day, for me, it was just Busch, just regular Busch back in the day. You know, not Busch Light, Busch.
Just regular Busch. Yeah. One thing I am going to do, though, and Chef Chris, if you're listening to this, my man was telling me, giving me pointers down in Panama City on ribs and how to cook ribs. I am actually going to use my last can of Busch Light Apple over here when I make ribs this weekend. So I'm going to put them on the smoker for a couple of hours, and then I'm going to pull them off. I'm going to put them in a tin and load it up with Busch Light Apple and cover it in foil. Then I'm going to cook for another 2 hours covered, and then I'm going to empty that out, lather them down with the sauce, and then I'm going to cook for another hour. So according to my man Chris in Panama City, like, that's the ticket, 2-2-1. Two smoked, open, two closed, covered, cooked, and then one more to basically glaze your sauce. Wow. So we're gonna see how that turns out this weekend, but I'm pretty excited about it.
Sounds great.
All right, so next question comes to us from Randy. With all the talk lately about Panama City and the Emerald Coast, that got me to thinking, will we ever see a CKP contingent at Pensacon? Inquiring minds want to know. Randy, we would love to go to Pensacon. I know Rob, Kevin, myself, we would absolutely love to go to Pensacon. We actually talked about that when we were down in Bay County a couple of weeks ago. It's just a matter of getting the invite, man. We have certainly made the overtures. I actually spoke with a member of their board when I was down there that I just happened to meet through a friend. So they know we're out here. And Pensacon, folks, if you're listening to this podcast, we can roll your bacon, man. If you need military sci-fi or pretty much anything under the sun in the way of author stuff, we got you covered. You're already familiar with Kevin Eikenberry, so look us up. We do travel, and we do travel well.
Yeah.
Pensacon, what do you think? Would you do that one if we got called?
I would, because that's back home, and you know, I can, you know, it's not far from where my son lives down that way, so yeah, I would do that.
Pensacon's definitely blown up into a nice size little con, man. They're not playing around. Lou Ferrigno's on the list for next year, and a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of cons, and that's by design, because it really does take a lot of writing time away when you have to give up, you know, 4 or 5 days like
sure.
that. But I would do Pensacon.
Takes a lot of money too. Yeah. There is that. All right, last question comes to us from Kevin. Let's see here. Hey guys, so I think we can all agree that football season simply can't get here soon enough. That said, what are some of the programs or television shows that you're watching to help pass the time during the off season? I kicked the tires on Loki. It kind of lost me. So I haven't gotten back into that one. That seems to be the going trend now for the Marvel stuff. Like, I just haven't, ever since Endgame, man, I kind of wondered how the Marvel Cinematic Universe was gonna top that. And so far they have not even come close. But anyway, I don't know, maybe I'll get back to that one or not. Yellowstone is another one that I thoroughly enjoyed. That should be coming back sometime now on Paramount Network. That's Kevin Costner and a whole bunch of people about a bunch of ranchers out in Montana, which is great stuff. Cobra Kai is another great one. That's a great kind of nostalgia watch, but actually tells a really nice little story in 2019, 2020. So that's for all you Karate Kid fans that's out there. And then, you know, as you guys know on this show, man, I'm a racing guy. So NASCAR, Superstars Racing Experience, I've really enjoyed that series. That's pretty well what I've been using to bide my time through the summer. And, of course, Cincinnati Reds baseball. So, Kevin, what are you watching, man?
Well, I don't watch a lot because, you know, for some reason this summer is really, really busy for me as far as deadlines and writing.
Yep.
But I will take the time here this weekend with the wife, and we're going to watch the new Leverage reboot.
Okay.
I love the old Leverage shows, and they got, I think, 8 episodes out now for Leverage. And so we're going to go ahead and watch those because
so,
I really
wait
love
wait a second.
That
they rebooted Leverage with...
Yes, they have... Everybody is there. Hardison is there for the first 2 episodes, and then his sister takes over. He'll be back and forth.
Okay.
And in the real world, it's because he's filming other things and doing a lot of stuff because he's a very popular actor.
Right.
But he'll be back on it. You got everybody else there. Nate passes, and they brought the guy. You ever see the show Librarian, which had Christian Kane on it too, The Librarians?
I know of it. That was born out of a TNT movie original.
Right. Well, they brought that guy back, and he's doing sort of what Nate was doing on the show. But from everything that everybody's saying, all the reviews, everybody's talked about it, it is just as good as Leverage ever was.
Okay. Yeah, I enjoyed Leverage for quite a while. Leverage, Burn Notice was another one on USA Network that was spot on.
Love that show.
Show went on a little bit longer than it needed to, as a lot of cable shows do. But yeah, for about the first 3 or 4 years there, man, Burn Notice was a great one. Kevin, if you have not had a chance to check that one out, I want to say all of Burn Notice, I think, is on Amazon Prime Video. So definitely encourage you to go check that one out. But all righty, well, that's pretty well what we got, and that is actually bringing us down to the hour. So let's check out a little white flag and get ready to put this puppy to bed, shall we?
White flag.
White flag is, of course, the segment where we talk about what's on our radar in the days and weeks to come. Kevin, I'll let you lead with this one, man. What are you up to here?
I'm finishing up the stories that were turned in for my first anthology. It Takes All Kinds 1. That comes out in September.
Okay.
And then I will be receiving the stories for the second anthology that comes out in October. It Takes All Kinds 2. So it's pretty much a lot of reading, a lot of editing, and you know, shooting off suggestions if there's any canon issues. And then finishing up what I have to write, because between now and the end of September, I have 8 short stories due.
Oh, man. Big 8. Time. That's a lot.
And then, of course, I need to work on the third fantasy book. So once I get that knocked out, and be good to go. So it's just a busy time for me right now, but that's okay.
Nice. Yeah, I am working on 3 Steps to Oblivion. That's going to bring the Swamp Eagle Security story, this particular story anyway, to a close. It's also going to help to start to tie up the Guild Wars, which fans of the Four Horsemen universe know very well. Chris and I are rocking and rolling through that. That ramped back up this week only because I wasn't able to do a whole lot on that while I was down in Florida. We had the event going on, and plus my wife and I actually tried to take a modicum of a vacation. So got back into that hard and heavy once I got back to North Carolina. So that's rocking and rolling. Other stuff that's on my radar coming up here in the next couple of weeks, I finally get to go back to a concert, you guys. Hooray! Jamie Johnson and Whiskey Myers are playing a doubleheader at Red Hat Amphitheater in Raleigh this weekend, so we are super jazzed about that. Smalls and I are both big fans of both of those artists and never seen either one of them live, so really excited about that. And then, as mentioned earlier, I got ribs ready to go on the smoker, going to do some beans and some other fixings Saturday afternoon / Saturday evening. Going to gear up for the Superstars Racing Experience finale at Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway on Saturday night. Promises to be a great one. Naturally, for those of us who remember racing, NASCAR racing, particularly through the early 2000s, I mean, for crap's sake, man, Tony Stewart, Bobby Labonte, Michael Waltrip, stepping off into IndyCar, you've got Paul Tracy, you've got Elio Castroneves, Bill Elliott, and then joining the usual cast and crew of characters for that series for the finale, you're going to have Kevin's boy, Chase Elliott, is going to be driving the Ringer car, and Haley Deegan is going to be coming back into the fold for this one. So Friday night, or Saturday night, man, 8 o'clock on CBS. Folks, if you have not had a chance to check out SRX, it's kind of what a lot of old school NASCAR fans really wish NASCAR still was in some respects, in terms of a real focus on wide open, short track style racing, big engines, not a whole lot of aero, cars all over the place, completely in the driver's hands, type of driving. I mean, it's wide open. It's great stuff.
I like it. I like it a lot.
You know, Chase versus Bill. That's going to be a hell of a lot of fun, man. You know, they'll be partying in Dawsonville come Saturday night.
It'd be crazy, yeah. But if you blink, you'll miss it because that town's one red light.
Yeah, that's what I hear. So, all righty. Well, thanks again to Kyle Wright for coming on and talking a little BizBull with us. We really appreciate that. Again, go check out his show, The Wright on Sports Podcast. Apparently, he's also got a geek podcast he's going to be kicking off, so be checking out that as well. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, Chris Kennedy Publishing. Go check out their stuff, man, whether it's Orbital Defense Corps, whether it's In the Wings, whether it's From the Ashes. Man, they got no shortage of great stuff for you to go check out and read, and it's all right there at ChrisKennedyPublishing.com. Thanks, as always, to Kevin Steverson for coming on board. Rob, we'll catch you next time, man, so enjoy your night off. And to the listeners, we really appreciate you guys. As always, if you like the show, don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. If they let you leave the stars, you know how much we appreciate that, because we love the love, and it helps to bump us up in the ratings for other people to find us. So thanks again to everybody for being a part of the show, and we'll see you next time on the Dudes in Hyperspace podcast. See ya.